from Halfway Down, an episode-by-episode analysis of the Netflix original series BoJack Horseman.
That was Sebastian. They're the BoJack Horseman expert.
And that's Alexandra. She is the expert on being pretentious.
We try to avoid character and plot spoilers on this show, but minor things are probably going to slip through. And of course, this is going to contain major spoilers up to the current episode. But today, we are just covering episode one and just our overall feelings for the show. So, Sebastian, expert, what is BoJack Horseman?
BoJack Horseman?
Yeah.
What's that?
That's such a good bit. You should do that every episode. It's brilliant. Yeah.
BoJack Horseman mm-hmm. is...
A horse?
He's a horse, yeah. He drinks a lot, and he's very sad.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the show is, yep.
Yep.
That's, yeah.
So is it more like a nature doc, or...
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so it's a dark comedy? Is that what it's classified as? I never, like, get that, because I feel like Rick and Morty is technically a dark comedy.
Yeah.
And it's not really the same kind of vibe, I would say.
No. I think it's a dark comedy in the same way that, like, more of a live-action dark comedy mm-hmm. would be, where there is a really, really, I guess, intense plot, but... They kind of use that as material to be funny, and I guess mm-hmm. that brings it to a different extremity, which makes it funnier.
So like yep. Shrek.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Shrek is really woke, dude.
It really is.
It is. We can talk about that on a special Shrek episode.
Shrek episode. But so what was the reason that you chose this show?
It means a lot to me. It's a special show. I'm sure that we'll talk about it a lot more throughout the episodes, but yeah, it's one of my favorites. I've seen it at least 20 times, some episodes more than that. It is a little bit
That's
excessive.
So many. I don't think I've seen anything 20 times. Much less, how many episodes does it have?
77. Yeah.
It's actually less than I expected.
Yeah, it's not that bad, and they're short, so if you're watching it in the background, it's not that crazy.
Mm-hmm. If someone has not seen the show, and they are for some reason tuning into a podcast... about the show first, what would you tell them?
I would say to follow along.
Would you say that they should watch the show? Was that would you recommend that?
Well, yeah.
Why would you recommend that someone watches the show?
Because the show is good.
So. Why?
Well, we'll figure that out. That's literally what the whole show is about. So I'm not going to do every single 77 episodes right now for you.
I just... Okay, well, if you haven't seen the show, I liked it, so I think you should watch it. It's funny, and it was surprisingly deep at times. I haven't finished it. If we want to talk about more of our own connections
stuff
and credentials. You've mentioned already the 20 watches, approximately.
Yeah, well, what perspective are you coming from?
Well, pretentious, as we mentioned at the beginning, as you kindly mentioned. I graduated, like, a semester ago with an English degree, so I am legally allowed to pretend that I know about things. That's what the degree is.
That's fair. That's what you pay the tuition for.
That's about all an English degree is useful for. So I have free license to be really, really, really pretentious. And I feel like BoJack Horseman is the perfect show to be pretentious about. It's kind of like being
true. Yeah.
Pretentious about whiskey. It's like, it's not as like overtly pretentious as like being pretentious about wine, but it definitely is like you're trying to be cool.
Yeah.
It's a little embarrassing.
You want to get some swag from it.
It's just alcohol, dude.
Yeah.
It's just a drink.
Tell that to
sip,
BoJack.
Sip. Yeah, tell it to BoJack. Okay. But you really, really care about the show.
Yeah, I do.
You don't want to elaborate right now?
No.
Okay, so we're going to slowly reveal Sebastian's tragic backstory.
Yeah, I know.
And why BoJack Horseman is the only reason that they choose to live and go on.
That's very cringe.
That would be so sad. So, very first episode. What's the name of this episode?
It has a really great title. They really don't want you to forget his name.
Mm-hmm. I can see it.
It's called... BoJack Horseman, the BoJack Horseman story, chapter one.
yeah, so that's a reference to something that happens in it. Can you summarize how it begins?
So basically, we start off seeing a snippet of BoJack in his 90s sitcom, Horsin' Around. He's with Sarah Lynn, who we're introduced to later. So it's just very goofy, very cheesy. And then it really just very quickly shifts to a really strong contrast featuring modern day BoJack, who is being interviewed by Charlie Rose.
Okay, so the first season, well, I guess it's similar to the Brady Bunch is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, or I more see it as like Full House. Full House.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
More 90s than 50s or 60s. Yeah,
and then he goes on the show. What's the things that he does? So he goes in there and he says, "Sorry, I'm late." And then they say it's fine. And he tells him he parked in the handicapped spot.
Yeah.
Clearly sees that that's not getting a good reaction. And then he justifies it, or not justifies it, he tries to make it okay by saying, "Oh, sorry, disabled parking spot." Which is, and then he immediately admits that he's already drunk on set.
So we're just very, initially introduced to a lot of his main character flaws that play a huge part in just the whole show.
Right. So he's an alcoholic. This is what we established in the first couple of seconds. He's an alcoholic. Yes. He's an asshole, and he's inconsiderate. But he's also PC. he makes sure to toe the line of political correctness. So, he's totally fine. He can't get canceled or anything.
Right.
And I think it ends with him saying that he's done nothing for the last 18 years.
He's done nothing. He's just been on the show. And in this interview, so he's being interviewed by Charlie Rose. And Charlie Rose is also a 90s, I guess, burnout has been.
Charlie Rose, I'm sorry you had to hear that.
Well, I don't think you should say sorry to Charlie Rose.
Why is that?
Because he assaulted a lot of people. Mm, so that is that kind of initiated the downfall of his career going into the next century.
Wait, he's 100 years old.
No!
Can y'all tell that I find a really hard time not laughing when I think of something that I think is funny? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So there's a direct connection to him. Do you feel that's reflected in... Do you think we're supposed to compare them?
I think that it's supposed to kind of establish a mood of somebody that we can base his personality in a relative sense off of. Maybe mm-hmm. these are the people that he's having to work with now, and these are the people he's associated with. Mm. I could be wrong about that, though, because I was a little on the fence about it.
One thing for me is, well, in Horsing Around, we do establish that there are human children and a horse people. And it's just kind of a slightly strange situation for a horseman to be the pseudo-parent of three orphan children. But in that one, we sort of immediately introduce, oh yeah, there's real people. We're going to have real named people in the show. And just, they're going to just be there.
In this weird world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of the things that he says at the beginning, because we're establishing BoJack's character, right?
Yeah.
But so he says, I'm paraphrasing only slightly here, life is like getting kicked in the urethra, and people like to have a show where they can go home after being kicked in the urethra and watch something about nice, likable people who love each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he says that in response to a very, very slight criticism about the show.
Yeah, so Charlie Rose virtually says something just insinuating that, the show is not super great. And also, this is Full House. It's very universally known as being very cheesy and stupid, but, we all still kind of love it for whatever reason. And yeah, BoJack just gets instantly extremely, extremely defensive over this, which I think really shows how important this show is to his self-esteem. Because, like you said, he hasn't been doing anything for 18 years. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of the only source of self-esteem he has.
Yeah, I think that scene ends with Charlie Rose asking, I feel like I've never said this man's name before in my entire life, and I've said it 20 times.
Mm-hmm.
Asks him what he's been doing, and he just goes for I think it says 10 minutes later or something. Yeah, that is his entire self.
Yeah,
we also do see that he's extremely self-absorbed. I think he sees the show maybe as an extension of himself, maybe.
Definitely. Yeah, he kind of, I think that he feels like this show is him, and as long as the show is good, he's good, and he's trying to convince everyone else of that, but also I think he's trying to convince him that, which is why he gets so
convince Charlie or himself?
Both. I think that he's mostly trying to convince himself, but in order to convince himself, he needs other people to believe it as well.
Shit, we're already getting into the hashtag deep stuff.
Hashtag deep stuff.
I'm going to say that a lot, because I don't want people to think I'm that pretentious.
Right. You gotta put a hashtag.
Some awareness.
Gotta be a little goofy.
Speaking of, I think the urethra thing, I think that could basically, I would see that as basically the show making its thesis, or at least like its opening question, I guess, about, I guess, asking what is the worth of a show where it's just about nice, likable people,
right,
if it doesn't mean much. And I feel like him saying some people like to watch a show about nice, likable people, and that's like good enough. And then it's saying it's from the mouth of a guy who we've set up as just clearly an irresponsible asshole
that we're all wanting to watch.
Right.
Also.
Yeah. So it's just a contrast of, this is not that show.
That's interesting.
We're watching a show about a disaster.
Yeah. And you know, I didn't think about that. Obviously just this whole scene also, like, this happens in maybe 60 seconds.
Though. Yeah, that's
like
true.
This is a really, but it sets everything up really, really well. I also, something to note is that, I mean, he's going into this like TV interview, and yeah, I mean, he showed up drunk, late, all these things,
parked in the
spot. Disabled
right,
spot. And you know, I feel like it really reflects just how numb he is to everything around him and all these things that should be exciting. You know, these are probably things that he used to be really excited about, and then over time he just can't really feel much of anything.
Mm-hmm.
Probably hence the drinking.
I don't know if he was ever, I mean, I don't have enough information to work off of him being excited to do these things in the past, but he clearly doesn't give a shit about them.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
So you have a note here, before we move on to the next scene, about how after Charlie Rose criticizes it, BoJack says that it's, sure, it's not Ibsen, before going on to defend it. So who is Ibsen? Because I've never had this reference anywhere else, and I'm not... See, my English degree kind of falls apart whenever, like, actual obscure, names come up, because I don't know anything about this Norwegian playwright?
Yes, yes. It is a Norwegian playwright from the 19th century. His name is Henrik Ibsen.
So what's he known for?
He's known... I think it's actually his most popular play was called The Doll's House, but a lot of his stuff is really similar to the show that we're watching, BoJack, where... Outwardly, it's very simple. It addresses really relatable issues and then ends up kind of hitting...
It's like a sitcom.
Hitting really hard, yeah.
Except not like a sitcom. So like this show?
Like this show, yeah.
Do you think that they said that to like compare? It would be like, that wasn't Ibsen, but this...
But this is Ibsen.
This is Ibsen.
Yeah.
So anything else you want to mention about that first opening scene?
No, I think that that 10 or so minutes talking about it definitely covers the
Yeah, my overall first part. Impression is that BoJack's not a good person.
No.
But he is fun to watch.
He is. So in our next scene, we are introduced to a lot of people's favorite character.
Really?
Yeah, that's kind of... He's not my favorite character. I do love him, though. We're introduced to Todd Chavez. How do you feel about Todd?
Is funny, at the very least. We see, you mentioned here also, we see the beginning of his hijinks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A minor plot thread going through this episode is that he needs to throw a Quincy Tierra
for a cartel mobster.
Yeah.
Because he was selling E on their turf.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird, because he's very wholesome.
He's extremely wholesome.
A himbo, definitely.
Yeah, and then he saw someone get murdered in front of him, too.
He's Gabriela!
With blood on his face.
Yeah.
And he keeps telling BoJack, I want to throw a party, but does not explain throughout, the circumstances
throughout
of his
the
need
whole episode,
to
yeah.
throw a party. It's pretty yeah. good.
It's fun. It's like, I think every time he mentions it, he gets increasingly more anxious, and he's trying not to appear anxious.
We see immediately that BoJack spends a lot of his time watching his own shows. I think actually the first show that we see though is a reality TV show that he's watching.
Mm.
He's like in his bathrobe and everything. He's in this super fucking rich ass penthouse.
Yeah.
Lazing about, which I think is relevant to later. But there's sort of that theme again about the sort of, I guess, uselessness of those kind of media, I think it's what we're seeing. Because,
right.
like, BoJack's watching a lot of his own show and reality TV shows and such, and he has not grown as a person, clearly.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Hmm. Yeah, I'm sure that's... I mean, I really can't foresee anything else that he's been doing. Like, that doesn't... Pretty sure that's it.
Yeah.
So that would kind of, yeah.
Yeah, just slowly descending into a penthouse.
Relatable, except a really shitty apartment. Awesome.
And yeah, no money from a giant show that was very well known across the nation.
Yeah, so, you know, we see Todd. And yeah, I mean, right away we're told that he's kind of just crashing at BoJack's house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like lazing about, which is, it's interesting because like BoJack is criticizing him. And we as the audience, I think my first impression was like, yeah, he's just kind of, there's no particular reason that he deserves to be here. But also,
BoJack's kind of doing the same. He doesn't deserve to be there either.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing of just like, yeah, he did the thing in the past, but he's also unemployed.
Maybe that's why he's so like disdainful towards him about
it. Yeah, that's probably right. Well, I guess the self-loathing is right in the beginning. I guess that actually comes up explicitly later.
They just straight up say it.
But next we get into the like main plot thread of the episode, right?
Right, yeah. Another thing that I want to point out about Todd is that, you know, he's talking to BoJack. BoJack is very emotionally distanced from him. And then Todd makes an effort to illustrate that he feels that BoJack has a very good heart underneath it all. Which I feel like is relevant to note for, I guess, later episodes and kind of how things continue. But yeah, he's very much an optimist.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of later in the episode with Mr. Peanut Butter. There's that same kind of theme. They're just too stupid to know that the world sucks, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, so anything else about Todd?
Nah.
Okay. Nah. So the main plot thread, right, is about he's taken an advance to write his own memoir.
He's already spent it.
He's already spent his advance, which is the first step, as it says.
Yes.
And there's the funny bits about it being Penguin Books, and it's run by penguins, and they're all broke, and they're like on the verge of bankruptcy.
Yep, like they don't have electricity. Yeah. Yeah. They're all like freaking out.
I wonder who at Penguin did something to piss the writers if BoJack Horseman off just shit on like that.
They were shit on quite a bit, yeah. So BoJack is speaking with an editor at the Penguin Publishing House. And yeah, as we said, he's extremely stressed and BoJack is being very avoidant about his responsibility towards making this book.
Yeah, what's funny about it though is that he just is completely unaware of his own avoidance.
Yeah.
Or at least unaware of his unawareness. I don't know, like unaware of his awareness maybe, because I feel like on some level he does know that he's doing these things. Or maybe I'm just projecting because I do the same thing, so I know what I'm doing. But he's always like, yeah, I can do it, no problem. It comes up a couple times.
I think that's his ego.
Yeah, he's just like, I can do anything, and then doesn't do anything.
He has a very delusional sense of self. And yeah, it's proven time and time again to not be accurate. So, yeah, and he's just insisting that he can easily finish this whole memoir just right away.
And that's where we get the title from, because he pulls out a recorder.
Yes.
He says...
Takes him about 3 days to come up with that title.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
BoJack Horseman by BoJack Horseman, the BoJack Horseman story.
It's BoJack Horseman, a BoJack Horseman story.
By BoJack Horseman.
By BoJack chapter Horseman. One. Chapter one. Yeah.
Chapter one.
Chapter one.
A whole day passes, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I always enjoy the, like, physics breaking of...
Because they're so realistic about really certain things, and then they're just so ridiculous with other things. That's it's wonderful.
Yeah. Where it's wonderful. I mean, it's a cartoon, so you're allowed to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But okay, what's the next bit?
So, you know, he's supposed to be working on his memoir, and then we see him back in his penthouse watching horsing around. I think that this really speaks volumes about how just stuck he is right now and how much he wants to, you know, move on. Well, maybe he doesn't want to, but he needs to.
Yeah, he says later on that he really needs this book to be published.
Yes.
But he says the reason, it's not to make money, it's not because he wants to be doing good work, it's because he wants everyone to love him again.
Yep.
Which is, oof, BoJack. And then I think that we get the response from the next character that gets introduced.
Yeah, well, I think that conversation actually might happen later.
Mm-hmm.
The next character that we see is my favorite, Princess Carolyn. She is introduced as his girlfriend, but they're instantly breaking up
Yeah, actually, they've already broken up when we get introduced to them. They broke up the night before, and then there's a flashback.
Oh, right, that's true. Yeah.
Which is, I think that's kind of a signal of, like, they're not supposed to be... It's not about them being together.
No.
That's just kind of a thing that was, but isn't anymore.
Yeah.
It's a good bit, though.
And it makes Carolyn a great agent, because she knows him inside and out.
Literally.
Yep.
Do you think...
No. I don't. I already know what you're thinking about.
Do you think BoJack has ever bottomed?
Okay, I knew that was what you were going to say. And also, no, I don't, because I think that you have to be willing to be vulnerable. Mm. And also, you gotta tone your ego down a bit.
This is a queer show. I just want to point that out explicitly.
You have to be a little bit mentally stable in order
to be a bottom?
As a man.
I don't know.
As a man.
Okay. I was going to say, you're right. I don't think he has ever bottomed sober. I definitely, I'm sure on the show he bottoms when he's on drugs or really, really drunk or something. Mm-hmm. And then that has definitely happened at some point in his party past.
You're probably right.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be something that was a misadventure. At another time.
That sounds like, but that should be Todd's, I guess, then.
Huh?
Nothing.
Wait, are you saying it would be Todd's misadventure because that's his thing?
Yeah.
And so it would be Todd's misadventure too.
In this episode, Todd gets...
BoJack Horseman?
No! Todd's the one that gets pegged. Well, it's one of his adventures.
Yeah, duh. That's not a misadventure. That's a fucking Tuesday for Todd.
Nah. Todd doesn't do stuff like that.
Yeah, Todd's not a dirty, dirty boy.
He's not!
Speaking of, if you want some ASMR, do send us an email that we'll let you know at the end of the podcast, and I'll personally make you one for a nominal fee.
How much is that?
Nominal.
All right.
So Carolyn, Princess Carolyn, you say that she's so they're at dinner. There's a great bit throughout the whole show. And then this one, BoJack eats 9 baskets of bread.
Yeah.
Actually, that's actually relevant. We should get to that in a second. But, so she like complains about she lists all the reasons why, she's breaking up with him.
Yeah. Cause BoJack instantly is trying to say that it's like, cause he's fat or whatever, or mm-hmm. just making up these ridiculous things, starts ranting about his own stuff that has nothing to do with her.
He causes problems to avoid the problems, basically.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And Princess Carolyn is just over it. She knows him very well. She instantly just calls him out. So we see a lot. First of all, we see that he's been cheating on her.
Yeah, with like...
like multiple women, it's implied, I feel.
Yes. Well, it's just that, you never DTR'd, so...
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
didn't know that he was supposed to be exclusive. To be fair, I feel like that is something you have to be very explicit with.
Yeah.
And but also, she probably was.
Yeah.
And then he just forgot.
He was just like, he does that. Yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking
as well.
Male
manipulator. Would you say that Princess Carolyn is a girl boss?
I would.
Would you say that she gatekeeps?
I would.
Would you say that she gaslights?
I would, yeah.
I think she literally does later on, actually.
When?
I don't know. Just at some point. Not in this episode.
I don't know. Princess Carolyn's pretty cool, but I'm sure she
has. I mean, cool
people
gaslight, too. I gaslight.
Actually, you know what? She probably does with, like, her agent people that she's rivaling against.
I feel like gaslighting BoJack is the right thing to do a lot of times.
Yeah.
Speaking of babies, that's the, like, the one of the main bits with that is that...
it's pretty good.
Yeah, she says that because he couldn't commit to having babies with her, which is, honestly, I feel like really... I don't know. I feel like there's so many other things to not be with BoJack before that.
So, the baby bit, actually, I didn't realize it, but I guess until recently, but it's an important theme of the show with her character, actually. Like, a really, really big part of her life. And actually, through the next few scenes, we see that Princess Carolyn definitely prioritizes her professional life over her personal life. And we see that she continues to be BoJack's agent and deal with all his bullshit. She's very on top of things. And yeah, I think that influences a lot of things, including something that she cares very much about, which is having a baby, which we get to see a lot more of later on.
Yeah, in like 30 episodes, probably, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, so the other half of the bit is with BoJack. They see a baby and he pushes over the baby carriage.
That's why he gets in a car accident. I think he like hijacks a
car.
We don't see it. We just hear it.
Yeah.
And we see Princess Carolyn's reaction.
Yeah, and then the police say, hands up, and get out of the car. And then they're like, wait, are you BoJack Horseman?
Horsing around?
Which is great, because then that's how he got out of it, I guess.
Yep.
But the commitment thing, he says he does not have a commitment thing, commitment issue that he had already committed to, like, having children with her, which is ludicrous. And then, of course, in that scene, he also explicitly states the thing that she was saying, literally, I don't respect you enough to commit to having children with you.
Yeah. Well, he says that, I think, to the police officer.
He does.
But then he does that. He's like, I never said that directly to you.
Right.
So.
It's just funny.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
There's another character there. Character that enters the scene.
Yeah, this is true. In the middle of this heated conversation about Carolyn's baby and...
Breaking up. BoJack not... Just not.
Just a very tense situation.
It wasn't that tense. It's more like just bad.
Okay. Well, our favorite guy. He is just the best. The best. He's your favorite, right? Right. You relate to him. I think he said a lot.
I don't like him, and I don't even mean that. I mean that more strongly than I just don't like the character. I don't like him on screen.
No.
Every time he's on screen, I'm like, can he get him off screen?
I know that's
tired of him.
It's Mr. Peanut Butter,
which is great.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Basically, BoJack's rival, sort of.
But he doesn't see it that way. It's a one-sided rivalry. Now. But
yeah, they had the same show in the past, basically. They had what's the name of his?
I think
it's like PB&J or something.
No, that's later. I think that's a new show that he gets. I can't, it might have been called Doggin' Around.
Well, even if it's not, that's pretty funny. But it's a show where a dog man is a pseudo father of three orphan children, unlike BoJack's show, which was much better. It's interesting though, because I feel like Mr. Peanut Butter's show, it was not as big as BoJack's. Like it feels like it was the knockoff.
But Mr. Peanut Butter's doing so much better in his career.
Yeah, because he's friendly with everyone. He's a golden retriever, so
he doesn't hate himself.
Yeah, maybe he should though.
Maybe he should, but he's too stupid.
He sits down in the middle of their breakup and just starts talking to them. And BoJack just very clearly communicates, hey, this is
a terrible time.
Yeah, please. And he's not even that bad, actually. He's actually very reasonable with it. And Mr. Peanut Butter is like, yeah, is this awkward? And he's like, yes, this is awkward. Please leave.
He's like, okay. And then he just sits down at the table.
Which is, it's interesting because he does it in a friendly way. And Princess Carolyn does... I love her name's Princess Carolyn.
I know.
She's not a princess. Well, she is.
But she's a cat.
She is. She deserves everything.
She does.
But
Princess Carolyn.
She ends up being on his side, basically, even though he's actually been an asshole the whole time. He's just done it in a friendly way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's successful. Mm-hmm. Again, she does she prioritizes her career, you know? She's got to rub elbows with the right people. I think that plays a really big part in why she is very socially polite.
Mm-hmm. So they break up, right?
Yeah.
Where Princess Carolyn says, how can you love someone else when you clearly hate yourself so much? And that she wasted so much of her life on him. Yeah, so what's your... You put this down,
I did, yeah. Yeah, I mean, as we were talking about before, BoJack hates himself. And this gets in the way of him having any meaningful relationships. And this isn't Carolyn saying that she hates him. Carolyn just wanted to be loved by him. I think she did care about him a lot and still does care about him.
I don't understand why, but...
I don't either, but she sees something in him and he just insists that it's because he continues just rambling about how it's because he's fat and asks her about it for throughout the next day, actually.
He just kind of picks it too. It's very clearly just him deciding.
He's like, this is why,
problem. Yeah.
Because it's easier to fix than something super deep rooted.
Well, he's not gonna fix it either. Well, but it's It's I think it's something that he can more easily victimize himself with, maybe.
Yeah, that's true. And yeah, he did that a lot also in their whole conversation. He was really dismissive and victimizing himself throughout the whole thing. I think that her statement also about wasting a lot of life on him, I think that that has a lot to do with her character. I think she's not quite 40 yet, but she's getting there. And she's been so focused on her job that she hasn't done a lot of the things that she wants to do, like have a family and just have fun and be happy. And she's getting older, and I think that it's really starting to affect her a lot. And she's realizing how much time she's wasted, especially on BoJack. And I feel like she kind of resents him for taking that from her, which is valid. But also, yeah, she should have left before.
Probably, but yeah.
We all know what that's like.
Yeah, everyone should just be on their own and do everything by themselves. That's my pro tip of the day. Just be a lone shark.
Right. That sounds like something BoJack would say.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually, I kind of feel like I am going to take on the BoJack role on this show.
I can kind of see
it. It's funnier, and it's not because of any deeper-seated personal issues that I will be realizing over the course of this show as I reflect upon the character and upon myself and sort of project myself onto the story and use myself as a lens to analyze the script and the experience of watching this show.
You should breathe after saying that sentence.
Insert the like radioactive gasp from Imagine Dragons.
Yeah, I know.
It was on top 40.
Thank
in, like,
you.
2013.
Really, I've never heard of Imagine Dragons.
Oh shit! Okay, well, stop the recording.
I would like to clarify for the record
that would love to tell you all about it.
That I have definitely heard of Imagine Dragons. So the next day we see BoJack back at his penthouse, and he is just losing his shit about the book. He starts rambling about it to Todd, and this is not prompted by Todd saying anything like this or anybody saying anything like this to him. He just starts talking about how everyone is going to absolutely hate his book and it's going to be terrible and they're all going to think that he's stupid or whatever. And he literally freaks out so much. Todd is trying to calm him down. But yeah, he starts to freak out so much that he has a panic attack and he goes to the hospital.
Yeah, so particularly the thing that like pushes him over the edge and makes him think that he's dying is everyone's going to think that I'm a washed up hack that hasn't done anything after the one thing that they did. Oh wait, what if that's true? And then he freaks out because he knows it's true. He just doesn't want to think about it.
And he doesn't want other people to see that.
But then we have the party, which is a really cool scene. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I do too.
To see Diane.
Yes, he does get home from the hospital. The party is not at the hospital. The quinceañera is not in the hospital.
Well, actually, I did want to mention something about the hospital. Mm. So there's a bit there about the doctor comes in and says, you know, just take it easy, right? It was just too much anxiety. Uh-huh. And then they joke about how he can't take it more easy. He does nothing. Mm. And he's super rich and he has no material problems.
I'll try, doctor. I'll try.
Yeah, it's really good. But the thing with that is, so I was thinking about the fact that the show is about a extremely rich person, right? Which obviously lets him do a lot of things because he has a lot more, like, means to do things, right? But also, I think it's interesting because it means, yeah, there are no material problems. He does not have to worry about making rent. He does not ever have to worry about anything like a job or, any of his material needs at all. And yet, he's still the person that he is, right? Which makes it so, like, the only problems that he can face, the only problems left are the ones regarding himself, basically. Yeah.
So, of course, now that he has all this time to be introspective, he does not want to be, and he uses all these really, I guess, exponentially damaging distractions.
Yeah, I keep picturing him in the bathrobe with the dirty Cheeto dust on his, his like, wife beater.
Ew.
Yeah.
Gross. So BoJack has now left the hospital, and it is the night of the party. So this is kind of winding down to the last act of the episode. This is where we're introduced to Diane. BoJack kind of sees her in the distance.
Diane's his ghostwriter.
Yes. Yeah, Diane is...
Because they finally got around to hiring her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and she wrote a biography on Secretariat, and he says that he always wanted to play Secretariat in the movie.
That is definitely very important to note. Very important. Secretary is super special to him, and maybe that's part of the reason why he was open to seeing her. I don't know, because he was really hesitant. Why do you think he was so hesitant?
I think, well, one, it's like he has to admit that he can't do it.
Yeah.
Actually, that would probably be the main... That's my main guess.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And if you have a guess, you should let us know, and we'll let you know how to do that at the end. But I think the reason why he gets kind of excited about it is because he sees her, and she's kind of cute.
Oh, yeah.
And that's probably the main reason that he actually, like, approaches her at the end of the party.
Well, I think she approached him. Because he sees her and then just starts talking to Todd. Oh, and then he's like, is this a quinceañera?
Oh, yeah, you're right,
And he's like, no. it's definitely a quinceañera.
BoJack Horseman is gifted the undying loyalty of a cartel mob boss.
Yes, yeah. I wish Well, maybe that does show up at some point later on. I didn't notice it coming up, but it should. That would be a flaw in the show, I would say, if he never came back.
A dangling thread?
Yes. That would.
I feel like if you tied all the dangling threads of all the jokes, I feel like,
They do a pretty good job of most of it.
Okay. I guess I'll find out.
Yeah, we can do like a tally, like CinemaSins.
No, we don't have to do that.
I don't want to. I know that you disdain CinemaSins.
It's a Doof Media policy, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I guess I got to do that too then. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, BoJack kind of walks over to the end of his patio. It's night. It's outside. I think that this is relevant. But Diane approaches him, and she is so, so awkward and weird, starts instantly oversharing and rambling.
It's very cute.
It is. It is cute.
I love Diane. She's so dorky and just great.
Diane is your kin, right?
Okay, well, don't say it like that. I guess I did say this is a queer show, but I want her to be the character that I am most like. Yeah, that's the way I would say
it. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think I'll get into that in, as we rewatch and refamiliarize myself with the character.
We'll definitely discuss our kins.
Our kins.
Our kin later on. But yeah, so she's oversharing a lot, and then, you know, BoJack's talking to her, but they're both, I feel like, and maybe this isn't just from this scene, but obviously they're both kind of judgmental about society as a whole, but they're not very judgmental towards each other, at least in the beginning. They kind of seem, and I know that you felt the same way, but they had, like, very instant chemistry, which isn't like said out loud, but you can,
they're
even though they're a little awkward,
you
can tell.
It's just like, you know, you have the two people who are aloof at a party and they gravitate towards each other and they're dissing on everyone else a little bit, and they're kind of making a bond that way, which is it's the best way to flirt with someone. It's so good.
It's good.
But yeah, no, instant chemistry, which is a little weird considering BoJack is, what, he's 50?
Yeah, I think he might be even older than I'm not sure. There is that joke where he says in this episode that that if he dies in the hospital, to say that he was born in 1975, which would make him in this century 45, and he was like, no one's gonna believe that. So that means he's at least like 50.
Oh man. I really hope it's not more than 50.
Yeah.
Because,
and I think Diane is like 30.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, she's older.
Huh.
I picture
her in her 20s.
You know what?
20s.
Actually, yeah, I think she might be in her late 20s right now.
I picture her as like 26.
I feel
27,
like they 29. I think she might be 29. Okay. I know that they show her 30th birthday, kind of early in the show.
Spoilers.
But that's not. She ages. Oh no! Who would have thought that she would get older?
This is a cartoon. I don't know the physics.
They do.
I don't know how this works.
Did we see them age?
I feel like that makes sense. Anyway, we get to know her a bit, and she's like a little bit like intellectual, but also really down to earth and stuff. There's a couple things mentioned in the conversation. One that I have is, well, so BoJack is dissing on Mr. Peanut Butter a lot, And he says that Mr. Peanut Butter is so stupid, he doesn't know how miserable he should be, which I felt like...
And that he's envious of that, yeah. He also states, yeah. Which I think we can all kind of relate to.
I have had that thought, and it's a little problematic.
It's a little pretentious, but
what?
Also, I mean, I think most people who watch that show, I think most people in general have had that thought. No matter what level they're on, I mean, there's other people thinking that about them.
Well, at the very least, you can look at a golden retriever and be like, I wish I just had a life of
you
golden
think
retriever.
Golden retrievers think that about, like, plankton.
I don't think they're aware of plankton.
You don't know.
That's true. Maybe
you
they
don't know.
Have a special relationship with them.
Maybe we'll learn about that in one of our fun animal facts.
Mm-hmm. yeah. It's a sort of, like... ignorance is bliss and stuff.
Yeah.
Although I hate saying cliches like that, but...
I mean, he does seem a lot happier.
That's true. But he's a massive asshole. He's not a good person,
but he's
even
happy.
If he's happy. Yeah.
No, he's not a good person, but he's real happy. Yeah, it is tragic that it works out that way. So, BoJack is saying all these things about Mr. Peanut Butter, and Diane does not feel the need to mention the fact that Mr. Peanut Butter is her boyfriend. And then this is revealed later on, and BoJack is astonished at
that
this.
He throws up cotton candy for about, like, 20 seconds.
Till the end of the episode.
Yeah, it's good.
He's just throwing up cotton candy.
It's so much. It's so voluminous.
And, you know, it's exactly what happened at the last party.
Mm-hmm. I feel like he should not be eating cotton
candy. Maybe he can't learn from his mistakes.
What?
He kind of keeps repeating the same patterns.
Mr. BoJack Horseman.
Mr. BoJack. So silly.
Yeah. But it is interesting, that Diane did not say anything at all. And then she's just very matter-of-fact about, this is my boyfriend. And then BoJack confirms in many different ways that they do mean that they're together in a sexual way.
Yes.
Which is a very funny bit.
It is a funny bit.
Confirm that they've seen each other naked.
They're like, yep. Yeah, it's a good bit. Yeah, I mean, before that, I guess... Oh, and I mean, I don't know if this is why she didn't say anything. I feel like that was more just for a comedic effect. But yeah, I think that we can kind of see that she definitely cares what people think about her. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's why she's dating Mr. Peanut Butter, because she wants to be more like him. She states earlier that she gets anxious at parties because she sees people and they're having so much fun. And then she starts to worry because she's wondering why she's not having fun.
Mr. Peanut Butter. Actually, that's interesting. She says, looking at, like, that guy and wondering... why am I not having a good time like him, right? And she says, she is talking about it in the rhetorical sense.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, rhetorical, that guy. But also, we cut to Mr. Peanut Butter a couple times being a dick, but having a great time, and everyone liking him for it. So maybe, that
I feel
makes
like
a lot of sense.
That's why they're together. And I feel like she does a lot of things for that reason. Yeah, then they have a conversation where Diane basically tells BoJack that he's responsible for his own happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as you put in your notes, there's no excuse. He has lots of money. He can do anything that he wants. So, really, the only issue is him. There's no excuses left.
There's
which
no
is
other
maybe
factors.
Why all his excuses are so ridiculous seeming.
Yeah.
And then he replies by saying that that's depressing.
Yeah. Because he's not even responsible enough
to
feed
make
himself.
His own breakfast. Yeah.
The woes of the rich.
Yeah,
which is very relatable, that we're only responsible for ourselves. That's a terrifying thought. I'd rather blame literally anything else. He's like, you can start being my ghostwriter tomorrow after this terrible, after I, like, get really drunk again and sleep with some people, and after I've said all this sad stuff, don't put in the sad stuff. And then Diane says, basically, yeah, sure. Anything that we've said so far, I won't include. But she says, I think in a way that kind of does imply that she's not going to include sad stuff in the memoir, which is, I don't think that's going to be held to. And I think that when BoJack meant don't include any of that sad stuff, I don't think he meant specifically that night. I think he means
don't
all include sad
together.
Stuff because I don't want to be seen as sad. I want to be seen as a cool person.
And maybe she purposely kind of bends the truth a bit.
Maybe,
she's like, like,
so
none of this
gaslight.
Is on the record.
Wait, okay.
She is the girl boss.
No. Princess Carolyn is the girl boss. Oh. Diane is the gaslight. We just have to find Gatekeep.
Oh, okay. Gatekeep. Who would that be?
You know what's funny is that a lot of our listeners are actually going to be millennials and not Gen Z, and they will not get what we're talking about at all.
We should make merch that says Gatekeep, Gaslight, Girl Boss, and it's just BoJack Horseman.
It's just BoJack Horseman. It's all three.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll put in the We'll send an email to Mr. BoJack and see if we can get his likeness. All
right. Great.
Yeah.
To Mr. BoJack. Awesome.
Mr. Horseman, actually.
Mr. Horseman.
Horseman.
Horseman. No, that's not true.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that's all the summary. What's your overall feelings for the episode?
I think it was great. I feel like this episode is 20 minutes long.
Yeah, we did talk about it for a while. Hopefully it's a little bit less in future episodes. But here at Doof Media, we do have a long-standing tradition of just going on and on. Because there is a lot to talk about.
There is. So. Yeah, I mean, that's why we're talking about it. But yeah, I'm really impressed with how quickly they just set all these characters up. And they set up the whole plot. And we kind of just already know. We just know what's going on. It's great. Mm-hmm.
And it's funny.
Yeah.
I will say, yeah. I don't think it has the same... Because it is more serious, I think it has a slightly slower, funny beat ratio, basically.
Mm.
Like, I remember reading the writers of Bob's Burgers talking about how they have a thing where it's, like, a joke every line or a joke every other line, basically.
I've heard about that, too, actually.
And so I'm wondering maybe with... BoJack Horseman is just slightly slower, like that tempo, because right. It does feel like, yeah, there is more of those slightly serious moments, and not all of them are jokes, although most of them are really funny.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. Yeah, it also transitions really quickly from being super
and
duper sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do it very smoothly somehow. Like, you could be crying, but then you'll still laugh like a little bit, you know?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the crying bits. To the emotional stuff that we'll see later on. I like the episode. I think it's a good introduction. And while I have seen a good amount more of the show, I feel like I remember, definitely being a hook and definitely being interested.
Yeah, how far did you get? I think that we got to kind of like...
Season 2.
Yeah, I think we pretty much just finished season 1 for you.
We had a couple episodes of season 2.
And yeah, maybe a couple.
Like 5.
You got lots of fun stuff to watch. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited to catch up and then not know what's going on. not that there's like that much that does happen.
Actually, you didn't even remember the first episode.
That's true. I didn't. I thought the second episode was the first episode. Like that, what happens in the second episode is what stuck in my mind, basically. And I didn't remember. I guess because most of the stuff is just like, is not like a
not
a
anything big plot. Really big. Yeah,
it's the setup, which makes a lot of sense. But okay, I think that's all we have for this episode.
Yeah,
so actually, before I want to start a thing, because it's also a very normal Doof Media thing, to have discussion questions for, at the end of every episode, basically inviting listeners to come and into threads on subreddits, on the Doof Media subreddit, and leave your comments on the show and answer a discussion question and get some conversations going. So I was thinking a discussion question that we could have for this episode, although you're absolutely free to edit as you wish, would be just, well, what's your impression of the show? And what's your connection to it? Just right. to start us off.
Okay, yeah, that seems like a good question to me. You can send us an email at halfwaydowncast@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at VHDcast.
If you want to see other Doof Media content, you can go to our website, doofmedia.com, or on our subreddit on reddit.com/r/doofmedia. There you can find a lot of threads to comment on the shows or get to know what else is going on the network. I think I'll also post a thread in the BoJack Horseman subreddit just as well to get some conversation going there as well. Hopefully they don't just boo us out, because that happens sometimes. But also, the other place that you can get more places to talk to other people that are fans of the show, both BoJack Horseman and ours, is the Doof Media Discord, which all you have to do is go to doofmedia.com/discord, and it's free to join. Doof Media is the podcast network that we're a part of, who provided a lot of funding for the show and for others like it, and there's some wonderful other podcasts on there. Actually, very recently, so it's the new year right now, just turning, basically. And recently on the Doofcast, they covered It's a Wonderful Life. And for some reason, I feel like that's somewhat relevant to the themes of BoJack Horseman. I'm not entirely sure, but I just get that vibe, you know?
Maybe, yeah. I haven't seen the movie in a while, actually.
I have never seen it. Sebastian pursed their lips and made a noise. Like, we're going to watch it now. Yeah, and there's a lot of other things going on at Doof Media. I actually do another podcast on there, which is called Do the Right Thing. It's about writing, so if
it's
you want to...
It's very good.
Thank you. That's very sweet of you. If you want to... if you're a writer or someone who wants to practice their writing, come check it out. Go listen to the very first, like, teaser thing at the beginning. Don't listen to the first episode. And then go and listen to the more recent stuff. That's my recommendation. And we have some wonderful interaction with our listeners and the stories that they've written. And so if you want to help us out on the Doof Media Patreon, just go to patreon.com/doofmedia and you can donate at any level and get a bunch of different rewards. But okay, I think that's all I have. I'm sorry I narrated for a while there.
You are completely fine. I think that brings us to our fun animal fact of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Today's fun animal fact is that penguins are now left with only 700 mating pairs, meaning it's likely at this rate for them to reach extinction within the next decade.
Unless they get busy.
Ooh la la! You want a drink too?
No! Oh my god, no! God, include that at the end. Include that at the end. Just that. Okay.